The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Now, to talk about some of the stories which have grabbed the attention this week. In the week trending, we're joined by Martin Beans Ward, the comedian, and also by psychotherapist with Maynooth Counselling, Helen Vaughan. Helen, I'd like you to start, please. And I think some people may be distressed by some of the material in this. We haven't had the opportunity to cover the Johnny Depp libel trial, which has been taking place in the United Kingdom. In a court in London, he is taking an action against the Sun newspaper, denying that he was a wife beater. But certainly, details of the relationship that he had with Amber Heard, much of it is very, very distressing. What of it has caught the eye for you, Helen?
Well, it's kind of hard to know where to start. You know, it goes from the bizarre to the even more bizarre. It's hard to believe. There's a lot of kind of allegations between the two of them of kind of violent acts, throwing bottles at each other. There's an allegation that Johnny Depp was playing with a knife and threatening to cut himself, you know, which are hugely serious things to put out into the public domain. He arrived late for her birthday party. They had a row after that. And it's alleged that he threw a magnum of champagne at her and missed her. You know, there's texts that he said things about her, you know, that she's begging for total global humiliation and she's going to get it. You know, I've no mercy, no fear, not an ounce of emotion. Obviously, these were texts as their marriage kind of unraveled. But today's kind of, I don't want to call it a highlight because it's horrific, is around he decided apparently he was going to end the marriage to Amber Heard after she allegedly defecated in their bed. So I think she sent him a photo of this alleged incident. It's not clear if she did it or someone else did it. There's allegations that it's one of the dogs did it, which Johnny Depp denies. And that was the main thing, kind of, well, one of the main things being fought about today in court, or that was heard today in terms of evidence between the two of them, you know, as their relationship obviously completely unraveled in quite a quick time. You know, they're only married for less than 2 years, as it turned out, having been together for a while before that. But I guess the case centres on an article from The Sun, which Johnny Depp disagrees with, where The Sun alleged there was overwhelming evidence that he attacked her, his wife, during their relationship. And that's what the whole case centres around.
That the Sun must have been somewhat surprised that he took the action all the way to court, because they would have known that all of this material would come into the public domain. And irrespective of what the outcome of the libel action will be, this will mean that an awful lot of people will form their own impressions about Johnny Depp, which will be very different to the character they'll have seen in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, I have to say, yeah, personally, I don't know if I'd want anything like this coming out in the public domain if I knew this was the background of my relationship. But, you know, the texts that I think were in court either earlier today or yesterday said things like, he was like, I have no mercy, no fear, not an ounce of emotion, or what I once thought I was love, or what I once thought was love for this gold digging low level dime a dozen. He goes on to insult her, you know, that he seems to be bring on this global humiliation of her. You know, if she wants to take it to court, she's going to get it, he says. You know, as I think he was gathering evidence to mount a case against the article and against her. But yeah, I don't know why. I don't know. I guess maybe he wants her to be seen as the one with the problems in the relationship. But the more that comes out, you just see, I don't know, how much allegedly went on between the two of them. That all sounds hugely problematic.
Martin Beans Ward, whatever about the findings that the court eventually makes, this is all very deeply sad stuff, isn't it, to see about how a relationship can deteriorate in a way like this?
Absolutely. For me, like, whenever I read about stuff like this, like, look, he's obviously not looking to get popularity from this, and I don't think she is either, to be fair. But again, it's all based around allegations, and I think the best approach when we're talking about it is to more or less take it as that, you know, leave it to the courts type of thing, because there's no positive outcome out of this for anyone. But like, as just been mentioned there, you know, like, all these revelations coming out, there's more questions and things like that that's happening. And, you know, I think there was another picture shared on social media today, or was it yesterday, of a table with lines of cocaine and, you know, with a drugs box and a bottle of whiskey, and another picture of Johnny Depp passed out and things like that, which for me doesn't really add up. Like, you know, four lines of cocaine, I don't really recall anyone being passed out after that. you know, but with all of these different revelations coming out, what was their drugs issue? And, you know, again, it's all centred around what the Sun newspaper ran with, which was an article, something about what would J.K. Rowling, you know, I think it was Gone Potty, which I think is quite ironic, seeing as somebody took a crap in the bed. But the headline that ran was Gone Potty, how can J.K. Rowling be genuinely happy casting a wife-beater, Johnny Depp, in the new Fantastic Beasts film? So within that heading itself, they've more or less, you know, said that this is what's happened. And I think we need to remember the power the media have. And we also need to remember, look, I'm a Liverpool fan, and we have a deep-seated hatred towards the Sun newspaper for how they covered the Hillsborough disaster. So, like, there's form here also. But, yeah, like, it is very upsetting because, you know, there's abuse being alleged on both sides, and domestic violence, I think, needs to be discussed more. Especially around domestic violence towards men as well. I know it doesn't happen as much, but it is definitely a conversation that has to be had. And I suppose maybe this coming out into the public domain is going to create those discussions. Who knows? I certainly don't see anything positive coming out of this for anyone.
Okay, let's move on from that because it is quite distressing. Let's hear a little bit of Jess Glynn's music before we talk about her. Okay, now tell us, Helen Vaughan, why is Jess Glynn in the news?
She's in the news because she went to a fairly fancy, I believe, sushi restaurant in Mayfair in London last week or during the week. And she tried to get in to have a meal, but she was dressed in a hoodie, tracksuit bottoms, I think a cap. And when they came over, they kind of said, you know, you can't come in. I don't think they said you can't come in looking for that, but they wouldn't let her in anyway. And she claimed, she took a photo of what she was wearing, put it on Instagram, I think, and said, you know, why wasn't I let in wearing jogging bottoms and trainers? I turn up your restaurant looking like this. You looked us up and down and said, no, you can't come in, even though your restaurant was empty. And she claimed that the attitude of the staff needs to change, as it was pure discrimination based on their appearance. So she did this post the other day alleging discrimination for not being let in. You know, and obviously saying she was unhappy about it. And there was a social media huge response. Uproar might be overstating it, but I think it was pretty heated response with people saying,
yeah, not supporting her, perhaps in the way that she would have expected to be supported.
Yeah, I guess maybe she thought people would feel sorry for her. But people were like, you know, in the wake of the Black Lives Matter movement, that is not discrimination. Not being let in because you're wearing tracksuit bottoms and runners and an oversized hoodie isn't discrimination, that you didn't get into a top end sushi restaurant. You know, that's kind of silly. And I think people turned on her, and I'm assuming she felt a bit silly because she's since now apologised, saying she used
the wrong
word.
And we'll hear that apology in a second. Yeah, we'll hear that in a second. But Martin Bean's word, what do you make of this?
I think it's hilarious. Like, she turned up to a place called Sexy Fish dressed like a dishevelled mermaid. You know, like, if you're looking to especially in a place that's high-end, like, straight away, we're talking about privilege here. You know, and this is on the back of the Black Lives Matter protests and all of that, where discrimination and prejudice and racism is at the forefront of our minds. And we're very careful about how we treat people and who we refuse entry to. And here's this very wealthy, very privileged lady taking issue with dressing the way she dressed and expecting. See, that I think that's the main thing. With privilege comes the expectation I can do and dress whatever way I want, and I will be still treated the way that I expect to be treated. And I think this was a lovely wake-up call for her. And I think, I haven't heard the apology, but I think it's probably in line with every other apology that's coming out at the moment. I'm sorry, I'll try to do better. That usual kind of crack.
Let's hear it. Let's hear that apology, which she issued on Instagram.
I used the wrong word, discrimination. I take that back. It wasn't the right word. It was wrong. I just want to highlight the reason why I posted what I did. Basically, all I wanted to say was that I felt it was very rude and disrespectful in the way that the Sexy Fish staff were towards me and my friend yesterday. And I don't believe anybody should be spoken to like that. And that's what I wanted to highlight. You know, I'm so understanding and respectful of dress codes and etiquette. And what I was trying to highlight for them, you know, so that they can better themselves, is just that, you know, there's ways of dealing with human beings and being respectful and having manners, because it doesn't cost anything. And that's all I wanted to say. So, yeah, I hope you guys understand, and let me know when it's safe for me to come back out.
Martin Bean's word, what do you make of that apology?
well, would she turn up to any award ceremony dressed like that? You know, and she's talking about that they need to do better. I think when you go to a restaurant like that and there's obviously a dress code, they wouldn't have flagged it otherwise. They certainly wouldn't have wanted this kind of media attention had they not already had a policy in place. So I think she's been caught lovely. She tried to go out in her scruffy sweatpants and she got called out for it and she didn't get her sushi in the end. She did
was
mention,
more,
I think, some...
Sorry, Martin, was it more wealth privilege than white privilege, that thinking that because she has
privilege.
Loads of money?
Yes, of course. No, I know it is, and I should probably clarify that when I said it a minute ago. It's definitely wealth privilege. And I think when you come to a certain level of economic clout, that you do have the expectation that, you know, you're above everyone else. But, like, look... I don't know her personally. Again, I love when these stories come out because it's like they're human at the end of the day. These silly things that people do, everyone does them. The only problem is that I see anyway. When you have a certain amount of money or a certain amount of power, you tend to think that you're above all that. And I think this is a lovely grounding exercise for Jess Glynn. I still love her music, by the way.
This is something I know they discussed in Dermot and Dave earlier in the week, but I want to discuss it as well. Why Scrabble has decided to ban the word culshie as offensive. Martin Bean's Ward, what do you make of that?
Well, let's go to the culshie. Which is basically everyone outside of Dublin.
Hold on, excuse me. I take issue with that. People from Cork City most definitely are not culshies.
She's a funny way of showing us. I love Cork, by the way. I love Cork. Cork is where travellers go to feel privileged. So I'm down with the Corkonians. I love them. But this in relation to this, it's such a stupid... Like people actually had a meeting about this. It's seen as a pejorative term for a rural Irish person. And Collins Dictionary says it comes from the local pronunciation in Kilchimah, County Mayo. Kilchimah, by the way, is where Leo Walsh is from.
Louis Walsh.
Or Louis Walsh, sorry, Leo Walsh, yeah. You hear me. Louis Walsh is from Kilchimah. Now, I always thought that culture came from, like, agriculture. Like, you're a culture. And so, Jesus, if you didn't have any agriculture in the West, you wouldn't have any culture at all, and that's a fact. But, like, somebody actually sat down to have a meeting about this, to talk about the serious nature of
the North
of the
American Scrabble Players Association, would you believe? And they had a lengthy consultation period with members, apparently, and they decided to take the word out because it's one of a number of terms which they believe is hate speech. Helen Vaughan, do you believe is it hate speech to call an Irish person a culshie?
I didn't think so, but I'm from Dublin, so I don't know that I can have an opinion, and I don't know if I can comment. But to be fair...
Have you ever been known, Helen, to call anyone a culture?
Totally, and I kind of thought it was one of those funny words that you can use and still get away with. But in terms of what the Scrabble Association was doing, or the Scrabble Players Association, they were getting rid of a lot harsher words than that were kind of racist, homophobic. Like, I'd say the N-word is long gone, but words along that kind of type. But I thought culture was one of those ones that we can still use it and get away with, because you just be called...
So hold on one second,
response.
Helen. You've just blindly said that you have casually used the word culture to describe people in this country. Would you like to make an apology for that now and make a commitment that you will never use such offensive language again?
Isn't that how it works? You know, that you say that and then someone calls you a Jackie or whatever else. Harsher welcome there, you know, if you want to get me back, you know, and that's how it goes.
What other words, if culture has to go, Martin Bean's Ward, I presume bogger has to go too, does it?
Oh, no way. You can't. No, listen, leave culture and leave bogger alone. If you don't have those, what are you going to call us? You know, are you all going to go back to using the word knacker? You know, let's get rid of that one.
Or do we just have to say person from the country? Do we have to, you know, depoliticize it completely and speak in fact?
Are we going to get a new, like, a cancel culture for everyone that's used the word culture in the past? Because I've used the word culture myself to in a self-identifying way. You know, look, it's only a fun word. Kilchimah, this anthem, Kilchimah, need to be remembered for something other than Louis Walsh.
Indeed. Well, let's hear of another incident involving racist behaviour in a restaurant this time. You may be offended by the language you're about to hear. This was videotaped at a restaurant in San Francisco. It involves the chief executive of tech company, a fellow called Michael Lofthouse. But again, I warn you that there's strong language involved here.
Say it again. Now you're shy?
What's wrong with you, man?
Say it one more time.
Okay, Helen Vaughan, explain that one to me.
This is an incident where a family, an Asian family, were sitting. So they posted this video of this other man who they didn't know shouting at them. And the post kind of says that they were sitting having dinner. They were singing happy birthday, I think, to one member of the family. And then someone at another table, this man who turns out to be the head of a local tech company, starts shouting at them to get out of the country, racist slurs. You know, and obviously a heated situation ensued that I think, you know, from the original post, they were confused of why this happened, why he suddenly decided to target them and started shouting at them. It happened on the 4th of July. So the person that wrote the post was saying, you know, is it linked to patriotism in some way? You know, even though they were saying, you know, that's deeply wrong. I don't get the link, you know, and then he starts talking about Trump's going to get them. And I don't know, it just sounds like a horrific thing. And I guess it's become big because they videoed it and it went on social media. But the guy involved, Michael Lofthouse, has now apologised, saying he sees the error of his ways. Can you see a theme here? If you get caught out in social media, suddenly you're very apologetic. So, I thought his apology was a bit better than Jess Glynn's. He did say his behaviour is appalling. You know, he said he lost control, which I always think is an interesting get out for any behaviour. You know, and apologised for his hurtful and divisive comments. So he does seem to have seen the error of his ways. Although he did say, I was taught to respect people of all races, which is clearly not the case from the video.
Martin, I'm sure there are a lot of Irish people saying this is disgraceful, it would never happen here. But at the same time, I'd imagine that there are many travellers who feel that they've been treated in exactly the way that Asian family was treated.
Ah, yeah. The only difference with us, sure, is that it's usually staff that say that to us, you know, or if we get that, if we get in the door in the first place, you know. But yeah, look, like Helen just said there, it's the typical, like with Jess Glynn there a while ago, you know, it's the typical kind of, we're so used to the same apology coming out now. They must have a template online or something, a free downloadable template if you're privileged or if you're rich. This is what you say in the situation, you know. And like, to be fair, like if he was saying that he wants to take time now to reflect, you know, on himself and, you know, how he treats others around him and things like that, that's just another kind of get out of jail card, really. You know, like it's empty rhetoric. It's not going to change anything. He's certainly not going to change. He's just going to be a little bit more covert about his opinions. But unfortunately, what it does show is that regardless, like there's this idea at the moment that Trump supporters and racists and that are people of the lower rung of the ladder with little to no education, that they're easily led. And here's a tech CEO, you know, a tycoon, like a really wealthy and privileged person doing this, you know. But fair play to the staff, they told him to leave. I think that's something that needs to become commonplace. But yeah,
I just like, stay with you, Martin. Tell us also about this the proposed law that's coming out of San Francisco in the States to stop what is called racist 911 calls. This comes after something, the Karen, yeah, the caution against racially exploitive non-emergencies. I think Karen is a word that people think of for other reasons at present. But this is interesting, isn't it? Because this comes from a case, again, video recorded in Central Park a couple of months ago of a woman who made a false racist claim against another man and got caught out by the fact that he videoed it.
There's several videos going around, actually, on social media of something similar happening. And it tends to be white middle-class women. Like, the Karen Act, for me, like they already have, I think it's in the state of California, they already have laws against making false 911 calls, but this goes a little bit further. So this is like any kind of call to the police that's based, you know, on the basis that you want to discriminate against somebody, that race or ethnicity or whatever, you know. So this is going a little bit further. I do find it funny that they chose the word Karen, but I think the same lawmaker said that it's nothing to do with the memes that are going around at the moment. But you know what? I'm not having that. I think it was definitely.
You better briefly explain for those who aren't familiar what the Karen meme is about.
Well, if you haven't seen at least one Karen meme on social media, there's something wrong with you. Because there's like it's kind of one of those things, a white middle class woman. Now there was actually, I think as of a couple of months back, there was a bit of a start of an initiative to try and ban the use of you know, Karen, saying that it was discriminatory towards Karens and things like that. And I don't know if they ever got to speak to the manager about that one, but basically there's a meme going around of people, of white middle-class women that complain to managers or are just kind of very kind of, I suppose, they expect... I know best, and if you don't agree with me, I want to speak to your manager. There always has to be somebody higher up that they want to speak to, because they don't want to speak to the lower end of the employee. So it's kind of something based around that. But I think it's getting legs. I've got several friends that are called Karen for their own sins, I suppose. I'm going to be slagging them about that. But again, it's very much kind of just playful banter.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. Martin Beansward, Helen Vaughan, thank you very much for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.